Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama, Mississippi, hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm, patient turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. And you can also experience spiritual unity and meditation with the host, with the most, the man like no other, the brother, like not undercover, but he's going to tell you that he's a lover of his people and that he's going moving things forward and he's making things happen and he's going to help you have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness through spirituality and meditation. Let's give a nice hand to the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges. You know who he is.
Yes, sir, my brother. Glad to be back on the show. And, yeah, man, got some great things to do. You know, that we can come together and make some things really happen, man. So that's what I'm focusing on right now. And I know we spoke about a transaction that we were looking at, and yeah, I'm still looking into that as well to see if this case here can really fly, and if it can, then I'll be back with some good news to let you know that I got the dirt. But anyway, outside of that, you know, right now what we're looking at is something that is really, you know, very important, and that's something that can have a very powerful impact on helping our people, no question on that. And that is coming together in spiritual unity. That is something that's really good. Because in us coming together in spiritual unity, you know, we could be a blessing to each other in our community, and that's a good thing. And the other side of it is, as I mentioned before, a lot of us don't even know that we have the spiritual power and ability to do some great, awesome, and amazing things. And that's the thing. We need to reawaken ourselves to our true identity and know that we are able to do some great and wonderful things that can bring about positive change. And once we really do acknowledge and start to tap into our God-given power that we've all been blessed with, the bottom line is this is when we can start to see us coming together in unity and bringing about a huge impact on our community as well. And that's a good thing. So all I have to say at this point is that in us coming together, the churches, the mosques, the Hebrew Israelite temples, the Rastafarian churches, all of us coming together in unity, that would be a very powerful thing to do. And dealing with that, where we're combining our spiritual power and strength together to actually accomplish some positive things, to really be a brand new reality for our community, and that would be great. So anyway, I just wanted to share that this is something that, you know, I'm in the process of doing right now myself, and I've spoken to, you know, a few churches since I've been back to New York, and, yeah, been getting a positive response so far, and I'm really glad to see that, because, you know, when I was down south, I spoke to four different churches, and three of them said that they didn't want to come together to do any prayer or trying to see what we could do to stop the violence in our community or trying to see what we could do to, you know, bring about, you know, the manifestation of wealth in our lives and things of that sort. But no, like, nah, not interested, you know, just want to see how much money I could get for my congregation. That's it. You know, and I was like, wow. So they were focused on making money off of the people that go to their church. But outside of that, you know, really helping the people in our community, wow, they don't even want to do that. But up in New York, I was glad to see thus far, you know, the churches here are more open to seeing what we can do to come together and really bring about some positive change. And that's a good thing, because for us to really come together in not just, you know, one or two churches or three, but to have 50 or 100 churches or even 30 or 20 churches come together in unification and really be focused on the same positive things that we want to see happen for our people, that would be a great thing. So anyway, all I can say at this point is that we're not coming together in spiritual unity to be a blessing to our community is really going to have a huge impact on the lives of our people. And like I say, you know, right now, we're speaking to a few churches, even from a number of churches, and really start to add on not only just the churches, but then dealing with the mosques, dealing with the Hebrew temple, Hebrew Israelite temples, and also the Rastafarian churches. That would really be great to see how we could all come together in unity to be a serious blessing for our community. So these are things that we've done in the past, matter of fact, because back in the 60s, like I said before, you know, we were really under the pressure of dealing with, you know, white racism that was, you know, extremely wicked and negative towards our people. But the bottom line was that the good thing about it was it kind of forced our people to even come together in unity. But it was either you were going to be totally, you know, replaced back into slavery, or you were in a situation where if we stuck together and tried to, you know, not just allow all this negative stuff to be happening to us, but to try to change it, then it would be a good chance that we could actually bring about some positive change. And that's what our people did. They came together in unity. Whether you were a Christian, whether you were a Hebrew Israelite, whether you were a Rastafarian, it didn't make a difference. Our people came together in unity, and they went at each other's throat, saying, oh, no, if you ain't a Muslim, I don't want nothing to do with you, and I don't even want to talk to you. You know, nothing crazy like that was being said. And it wasn't being said like, hey, if you're not a Christian, I don't want to have nothing to do with you either. Matter of fact, I might smack you upside the head. All that kind of crazy stuff, you know, was not even a part of the conversations we were having as a people. We gathered together in unity, and that is what really brought us together to bring about positive change in our community, and that was good. So not only did we deal with things with marches and protests, but we came together in spiritual unity as well, and that was a great thing. And that was one of the things that really showed me that in us coming together in prayer and meditation and fasting, things like that, we could bring about positive things. But I remember just, you know, dealing with, you know, the gang war situation, and it took us 2 years to actually put an end to it here in New York. But in Baltimore, where there was a terrible gang war going on as well, brother came to us and said, hey, man, I heard about what y'all did in New York, and y'all had some positive results with that. You think that that could work for us in Baltimore? So we really got a serious gang war problem here. And I said, yeah, you know, I said, not me, it's God, but yeah, we could do this. But okay. He said, because this weekend they're going to be having a retaliation against this other gang that killed 5 people in their gang. So they're going to retaliate on that. And they brought 2 or 3 machine guns, and, you know, they're going to see if they could kill all of the people in the other game. I said, wow, that sounds crazy, man. So, yeah, that's what they're talking about doing, man. So if we could meet before the weekend starts, that would be good, because if we do something on Saturday or Sunday, it's probably going to be too late, man. We're just going to hear about all these kids, dead bodies on the street. We don't want to deal with that. That's okay. Let's see what we could do on Thursday. So we got together on Thursday, and we prayed together on that. And we did meditation on that as well. We visualized and saw the divine love of God and the divine love of Jesus going into the minds and hearts of those kids that wanted to get the revenge on those, the other gangs that killed five people in their gang. And they wanted to really see what they could do to, if not destroy everybody in the other gang, at least kill the majority of the people in that gang. But anyway, that weekend, they had planned to retaliate and go after them. But that Thursday, we got together with 20 of our people from New York, and it was 5 people from Baltimore. And with the 25 people that we all came together with, we all prayed on that, and we visualized that. We saw an ending of the desire for them to want to go and kill the people in the other gang. And we saw their hearts and minds being totally purified of all of that anger and ambitiousness to go and do this against the other gang. And anyway, that Sunday, the brother called me. And when he called me, he told me that, you know, he was really glad to see that we got together to do the prayer and meditation. And I was like, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay, it sounds good. What happened? And then he told me the other gang did not retaliate against that gang. And they didn't kill anybody. They didn't even attack them or anything. But they were telling, you know, putting it out there in the community that they were definitely going to be trying to kill as many of them as they could, you know, over the weekend. And I said, wow, that's interesting, because, you know, they didn't even try to retaliate at all. But no, they didn't. So that was really good. I said, well, that was it, brother. You know, we prayed on it, we meditated on it, we visualized it, and it actually, through the grace of God and Jesus, it actually did, you know, put up, you know, the purification and the cleansing of their minds and hearts so that they didn't even want to deal with it anymore. And that was good. So anyway, in the following week, he tried to see what he could do with that as well in regards to, checking on it to see if they just postponed it for a week. You know, instead of doing it that week that they said they were going to do it, they decided to do it the following week. But they didn't do anything the following week either. So I was really glad to see that. And we ended, a retaliation in the gang wars that would have killed, you know, a large number of kids, you know. And I'm really glad that that occurred. But it shows that we have the spiritual power and the ability to even change the minds and the hearts of those that are stuck in wickedness and evilness towards one another. And that's a good thing because, you know, when you really look at, you know, how our kids, you know, can get stuck in that mindset, and I can't say that there are other kids that were really angry about, you know, wanting to get revenge after 5 kids got killed in their gang. I can't say they didn't have no good reason to want to attack them. But the other side of it is, if they don't even have gang wars anymore, where the kids have really had their minds and hearts cleansed, where they're not even stuck in that mindset of evilness and wickedness, wanting to kill each other, hating each other, lying on each other, doing all kind of crazy things against one another. And the beautiful thing about it is you and I have been blessed with our God-given power. But the only problem is we've been taught by this system that we don't have any God-given power, and that we are just weak, limited human beings that can hardly do anything. And because of that, unfortunately, many of our people have been brainwashed to believe that about themselves, because that has been what has been taught to our people. But we don't have to accept the lie of Satan. We need to accept the truth of God. For you are made in the likeness and in the image of God. And Jesus said, the things I've done, you can do, and even more. And both of those statements are so powerful, it made me fall out my chair, you know. But the same week, I ran across both of those in the Bible, and I was like, wow, we can do what Jesus did, and even more? And we're made in the likeness of God? What? I was like, you know, so that is very powerful, because when you look in our community and you see people begging out on the street for food and money, and you see a lot of black people that want to start a business, they can't get the financing to do it, and all these, you know, negative things that are happening financially in our community, you know, these are the reasons why we do feel that, you know, we're not able to really benefit ourselves because we're incapable. But the other side of it is that when you have a system that's rigged against you, many times you're going for a business loan, you're going for a program that could really benefit your children and your community and other things, but they won't give you the money. But that's where we have been making a mistake. We have to come together in unity to be a blessing to ourselves and our community, financially as well. Because we have a lot of black billionaires and even billionaires in our community, but the only problem is collectively we're not coming together like we really need to. And that's another thing. We need to start to see a more harmonious new reality in our community where our people will put aside the self-hatred and anger that we have towards one another and start to reach out to be helping one another, start to reach out to be uplifting and sharing and caring with one another. And when we come within that mindset of wanting to help each other, and that positive mindset, instead of in the negative mindset of wanting to hate each other, wanting to kill each other, wanting to lie and, you know, destroy each other verbally and physically, you know, all that crazy stuff can be totally erased, but that's where the spirituality comes in. When we start to cleanse and purify and totally erase the hatred, the negativity that we see in many of our people that have their hearts and minds filled with nothing but hatred and anger towards one another, and that's not a good thing. But that is a good thing that we have the ability to get rid of it. So anyway, these are some things that we can truly, truly, truly do. Cleanse and purify and resurrect our community too. We can do that. But we have to know that we have the ability. And it's not a joke. And it's not something that might come about or maybe can come about. It's something that can definitely come about. But the question is, can you believe it? And I know Master Charlie has definitely brainwashed our people thoroughly to the point where it's not easy to come out of those negative thoughts and feelings towards one another. But we can do it. We can come out of the negative mindset into a positive mindset of wanting to help each other and be a blessing to one another. And once we start to see those things, that's when we will truly know that these are things that we can truly, truly do. Anyway, I definitely wanted to share that with us today because this is something where we can definitely make our way. Coming together, as I said before, with our churches, with our mosques, with our Hebrew temples, with our Rastafarian churches, all these different spiritual groups and organizations can come together and we can come together and experience the unity and destiny here by resurrecting our community. So anyway, look at some things that really need to be refocused on in our community. And it doesn't mean that you got to march and you got to protest in front of a city hall or in front of the White House. You know, you can be in your home, on the phone, doing a prayer. You could be in a church. You could be in a mosque. You could be in, you know, a park, you know, where you come together and you got maybe 500 or 2,000 or 3,000 people that are all praying together. All these kind of things can be done. And you don't have to worry about, you know, getting gunned down or lynched at those places, you know, because these are things that once you do come together, whether it's in the churches, the mosques, the Hebrew temples, and the Rastafarian church, and the body is, you know, we'll start to see some great and wonderful positive results. And that's a good thing, because the power of God is no joke. It is very, very real and very, very powerful. And once you start to utilize it and to focus it on different subjects that need to be erased out of our community, that's when we're going to start to see, you know, some positive results coming back into our community. And that will be great. So anyway, like I said, I just wanted to share this with you and let you know that these are some things that we can do. And like I said earlier, you know, even in coming together financially, we need to be a blessing to one another. And, you know, as we have mentioned once before, you know, when you really look at, you know, the amount of money that we have and that we already have in our pockets, you know, we're spending within the course of a year amongst our 50 million people, we're spending about $1.8 trillion in the course of a year. And being that we have a large sum of money already in our hands, we just need to utilize spending it wisely amongst one another instead of giving it all out to everyone else in other races, whether they be Hispanic, Asian, white American, you know, all of these different folks who give them money out to, whether going to Walmart or all these other supermarkets and stores and, you know, cleaners and all this kind of stuff. But the thing about it is, once we start to spend the money in our community and start to really pour, instead of millions and billions into their community, we can pour millions and billions into our community as well. And I'm not saying that you should never go to a store outside of the Black community, but what I am saying is that you need to definitely spend money within your community. Because when you do that, you're actually helping tremendously to bring about positive and wonderful things in our community, and that's a good thing. So anyway, these are things that we need to do. Be mindful of how we spend our money and use wisdom in reaching out to spending it in our community. And that's one thing that's very important. The other thing is coming together in spiritual unity, where we can definitely be a great blessing to our community. And then one last thing that's very important as well, and that is when we can start to really focus on the important things that need to be erased out of our community, and that is the gang wars, the violence, the murdering of our kids and our adults, and also, as I said, the financial upliftment of our people as well. These are things that are very important for us to see and to focus on, because if we're focusing on financially spending money in our community and coming together in unity and even donating money in our community to help each other out, these are things that will bring positive change without a doubt. Spirit definitely come through. You have a powerful impact on helping our people. So anyway, Ron, if anyone has any comments on any of the things that was mentioned here this evening, you know, you can let me know, because these are things that are important for us to actually focus on and start to bring about a movement that can definitely help to change the negative things that we see going on in our community. Brother Ron, are you still around?
No, no one yet. No one yet. Advertise, no one yet.
Okay, you know, advertise to do that.
No, you can go right ahead to the people as I'm doing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were getting ready to bring on the advertising program. Yeah, no problem, man. Well, that's one thing, you know, speaking about, you know, that.
I'm spreading the word. I'm texting.
Oh, you're getting ready to?
I'm texting people because apparently there was no outreach. I don't know.
Yeah, well, today it was focused on, you know, what we were talking about. And I did speak with them, so I'll talk to you about that later. But anyway, yeah, go ahead and do that. You need to do a few texts on that as well. And, yeah, so these are some things that really need to be seriously focused on. Because as we start to really take a serious look at what we're involved with, what we're doing, what we can positively bring about, that's when we're going to start to see a lot of positive things coming back. But, you know, that's the thing, because, you know, when you're taking people out of a negative mindset, you know, it takes time. You know, sometimes a person can do it easily if they're really just focused on wanting to come out, and now they're ran across a positive opportunity on how they could do it, and they're putting a lot of their energy into it. And then there are those that want to come out, but they don't really believe that they could ever really come out. And they're, being that that's the case, they don't put a lot of energy into trying to see if they could come out of the negativity that they're caught up into. But that's the thing. If you hardly are putting any energy into bringing about positive change, then that's what's going to occur, hardly anything. But if you do put serious energy into it, then you're going to see positive change come about. And that's what happened when we were dealing with, in the schooling system, we had a brother who was, you know, dealing with the tracking system in the school, and, you know, he was running track and everything, and, you know, he wanted to be a track star, but the only problem was the last couple of races he was in, he lost, and he was even wondering whether he wanted to stay in, you know, since he was in the 12th grade, whether he wanted to keep going with the track or not. But, you know, he came to us and said, well, Mr. Bridges, is this program you got with the meditation can help us to actually change and improve ourselves. I heard it can help you, get better grades and, help you with, athletic stuff too. But do you really think that that could help me? Because I'm running track and everything. I wanted to see if I could, start running these track races again. And I said, yeah, no doubt you can. You know, but you have to start to see things from a positive mindset. I said, what is causing you, what are you thinking about, you know, when you find yourself losing these races, what are you thinking about, you know, when you're starting to do these races? And he said, well, basically what the situation is a lot of times I look across they're on the line getting ready to run the race and see these guys and we all got our shorts on and we're getting ready to run. And then these guys got muscles in their legs 10 times bigger than mine. And I'm saying, wow, these guys are probably going to be able to beat me because look at his legs compared to mine. Look at those muscles bulging out in his legs. And I said, wow. So I said, you're literally telling yourself you're probably going to lose before you even get in the race. If you're going to tell yourself you're probably going to lose, then basically you're right. You are probably going to lose. But what you need to tell yourself is that you see yourself as the first one crossing the finish line. You need to see yourself as the winner of the race, not the loser. Because if you're going to say stuff like that to yourself, you're convincing yourself that you're going to lose, and that's what you're going to do. You are going to lose. So changing your mind from being in that negative mindset where you're seeing yourself as a loser instead of a winner is not going to be what you want to stay stuck in. You want to start to see yourself as a winner. He said, well, that sounds like it makes some sense. I said, no, it definitely makes sense. And that's the thing, you know, and that's what we do. I told him that, you know, with the meditation, you're visualizing yourself first thing in the morning when you wake up. You're doing a meditation on seeing yourself as a winner and being the first one crossing the finish line. And not just saying, I think I might be able to win the race. You know, you see yourself as it's already been done and you've already won the race. And I said, that's the first part of it, seeing yourself as a winner. And if you can see yourself as a winner and really start to get into what we're talking about in that positive mindset, then that's going to really help you tremendously. You know, because a person who's a basketball star or a track star or whether they're a singer in the music industry, they're not saying to themselves, well, my voice doesn't sound all that great and I know a lot of people don't like to hear it and I'm thinking about even coming out of the singing industry because my voice is not that good. You know, top singers in the music industry are not telling themselves that they feel that they have a terrible sounding voice. They're telling themselves that they feel they have a great sounding voice and that they're going to be able to make a lot of money because people are going to like to hear their songs and everything. And then because they see themselves as winners in the singing industry, that's what they become. And same with the basketball players. You can't tell yourself, you know, that you're going to be a great basketball player, and then, you know, in reality, you're thinking about seeing yourself all the time as somebody that just keeps missing each basket to going into the hoop. Instead of it going in, it keeps bouncing on the hoop, but it won't go in. And that's only because you're seeing yourself as not being capable of making it. But once you start to really believe that you have the ability to be a good basketball player, a good football player, a good singer, dancer, and other great things that you are focused on, then that helps you because if you're going to be in a positive mindset, then that's going to get you positive results. But if you're going to be in a negative mindset where you see yourself as a loser, then basically that's what you're going to get, being a loser. So what you see is definitely what you get. And that's why I told him that he needs to start to see himself as a winner. And I said, in the morning, waking up and seeing yourself as that winner is important. The other thing is the affirmations that you say. Because the affirmations are the other thing that help to reprogram your mind into positiveness, you know. Like if you start to say, great success is here for me right now, and I will achieve it. And if you keep saying things like that, I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. And if you keep saying things like that to yourself, and over again, and that's what we told you. First thing in the morning, do the meditation, do the affirmations, and then, you know, you get washed up and you get dressed and get ready to go to school. But I said, before you get ready to go to school, you make sure that you wake up at least about an hour early, and that's when you do about, you know, 15, 20 minutes or half an hour on the meditation, seeing yourself in that winner mindset. Then you start to say things to yourself, the affirmations that reprogram your mind to seeing yourself as a winner as well. And I said, if you're going to do that, that would be great. And then I said, when you get ready to go to sleep at night, before you go to bed, you do another meditation and some more affirmations. And when you do that, that will end your day on a positive note as well. Even though you might have had a rough day, if things didn't really go that well for you, but you still don't throw in the towel and say, ah, forget it. Just that negative thing happened today. I'm just giving up. I'm giving up. Instead of you giving up and throwing in the towel, what you need to do is still continue to see yourself as a winner and to still believe that you can make it and say the affirmations and do meditation where you're visualizing yourself as that true and successful winner. And that has a huge impact on changing your life, because you cannot be a winner if you see yourself as a loser. That's not going to work. But if you see yourself as a winner, that helps you to become a winner. But you have to come out of the negative mindset into the positive mindset of knowing and believing that you not only are capable of it and worthy of it, but you are the winner. And that is the serious game changer for you. Anyway, what ended up happening with this gentleman, he, you know, ended up not just playing with what we told him to do, but we gave him, you know, four or five different affirmations to say that were positive, you know, mind-changing affirmations. And he started using those affirmations, and, you know, that was good. And he also did the meditation in the morning, and he also did it in the evening before he went to sleep. But anyway, the funny thing about it is when you're trying to utilize these spiritual tools that can actually transform and change your life, if you're going to only do it in the course of a week, and you're only going to do it like maybe once or twice in the course of a week, a very limited period you're going to put into it, then you're going to get limited results. And that's the, you know, the other side of the story. But what ended up happening with him, he did it every day. And he did it in the morning before he went, you know, and got ready to go to school. He did it at night before he got ready to go to sleep. And every day he was doing it. And 2 weeks later, he got back in touch with me. He said, wow, Mr. Bridges, guess what? I said, what? He said, I'm winning the races again, man. I just won 3 races. Yeah, I really thought I'd use this stuff. I said, hey, there you go, brother. You know, you're starting to see yourself as a winner, and now you are a winner. But that's right, man. This stuff really works. And that's the thing. If you can actually see yourself and believe that you have the ability to do it, and not only the ability, but that you're worthy of doing it as well. Because that's the other side of it. If you feel that you're not worthy of it, and that you shouldn't even be doing this because you're not capable of it, and all that kind of crazy stuff, then that's going to really put a brick wall of stopping you from becoming that winner that you want to be. But if you see yourself as being capable and worthy of actually accomplishing great success, then that's what's going to happen for you. And that's a good thing. So anyway, what ended up happening with him, you know, he was winning a lot of races all of a sudden, and I was really glad to see that. And that was at the same time when that was in Russia. Russia, where they were having the International Olympics. And, you know, it wasn't just track running, but there was a number of different, you know, athletic, you know, things that were going on at that time in Russia. And he wanted to be, for one of the races, he wanted to be the, you know, champion here in the United States, where he would be representing the United States and going to Russia, and he wanted to see if he could be the international champ. And I said, wow. I said, well, you, as many races as you've been winning lately, I said, yeah, you probably could do that if that's what you want to do. He said, yeah, Mr. Biggie, that's what I'm asking you. You think that, you know, I could probably go out there, Russia and win? I said, yeah, you know, you just got to see it and believe it, brother. And he said, okay, I'm going to go for it. You know? So anyway, he went to the finals. He made his way into the finals here in the United States. And after he made his way into the finals, that was to see if he could be the win to be the representative. He was going to have come in first place to be the winner of the race, to be the representative for the United States for that particular track race that he was going to represent. Anyway, they had the race on the finals. Of course, he was in it. And unfortunately, he didn't come in first place. He didn't come in second place, but he came in third place. And I was like, wow. You know, I was so glad to see that, you know, at least he came in third place. But he was really upset and everything that he didn't get a chance to go to Russia. And I said, what? I said, brother, you just came out of being a stone-cold loser that really couldn't win any races, you know, in the last couple of races that you were in, and mainly because you kept seeing yourself as a loser. But now, being that you are going from being a stone-cold loser to third in the nation winner, track star, I said, you can't really look down on yourself and feel that, you know, you're not accomplishing anything. You went from a stone-cold loser to third in the nation. I said, that's a good thing, brother. And he said, yeah, Mr. Biggs, yeah, right. He still kind of had that, you know, sorry look on his face. But the good thing about it was he did realize that he did make a huge improvement from being a stone-cold loser to a winner. And that's the thing, even with our people, you know, when you use positive spiritual tools to bring about positive change in your life, that can be something that can really have a huge impact on you. But the terrible thing about it is when your mind is stuck into seeing yourself in a negative perspective as a loser, as somebody that's probably never going to come out of the dungeon of poverty, as someone that is never going to be able to improve himself as far as his grades or anything. He's been failing and he's on the verge of dropping out of school. And this is something that you don't have to do. But if you just keep seeing yourself from that negative perspective, then you're going to get more negative results. So these are things that, you know, we help, you know, quite a few kids that were stuck in, you know, failing in school, and we were able to get them to come out of that negative mindset and into a positive mindset where they actually started to get on that A and B honor roll, and that was good, whereas prior to that, they were failing in school. So these were things that I was really glad to see, you know, really change the lives of a lot of kids. And it can also change the lives of a lot of adults as well. And that's the reason why now what we're doing is also sharing this information with adults that are interested. So if any of you guys would like to, you know, reach out and actually learn the different steps that you could utilize that could really help you improve yourself, whether it's in dealing with the business world, dealing with athletics, dealing with trying to improve your grades in school, trying to also
yourself as a winner in life just in general. And that's also very important as well because, you know, like I said, the brainwashing with this system, you're supposed to see yourself as the loser, not the winner. But you don't have to stay in the lies of Satan. You can stay in the truth of God. And if any of you guys are interested in learning how you could truly, truly start to be that serious winner, then that would be a good thing. And we could truly turn those negative results that you're experiencing now, totally erase them and replace them with positive winning results that will make you a winner in life. And that's very important. But to just deal with it from a negative perspective and allow the terrible brainwashing of Satan to stay stuck in your mind and heart, that's not a good thing. But we can definitely change it around and bring about a totally brand new reality. And once we start seeing ourselves from that positive state of mind, we start seeing our brothers and sisters in that positive state of mind, then that's, you know, something that's going to bring about positive change for us and also for our people and our community as well. And that's very important. So these are things that can not only, you know, have a huge impact on you as an individual, but it can also have a huge impact on our community too. And that's the reason why I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because I've experienced it in the past and I've seen the results. So I know this is something that can truly bring positive, great, and wonderful results about. But we just need to implement some of these spiritual tools in our schooling system, you know, because that was another thing. There was a brother that I was trying to see if he would give some money to our program to help us do a meditation program in the school. And he said, nah, man, that ain't going to work. I said, really? I said, you do meditation with adults. Why? What's wrong with you doing meditation with the kids? He said, yeah, I was down south and I was, you know, doing a program for the kids. And we were getting good results on the meditation program. And because we were getting good results, they kicked our program out of the schooling system. I said, what? They kicked you out because you were doing good with the kids? Said, that's right. They kicked our program out. So he said, I know you're just going to be wasting your time because 9 out of 10, you're going to do good in the schooling system, but they're going to kick you out of the schooling system because they don't want programs in the schools that can turn our kids' minds around into being successful and seeing themselves as winners instead of losers. And because of that, that's why I'm telling you, this, you know, that ain't going to work. But anyway, I told the brother that we did start a program, meditation program in the schools, and that, you know, we didn't get kicked out yet. And this was a little later down the road, about 6 or 9 months later. And I asked him again. I said, come on, man. Being that they didn't kick us out, you know, and then I haven't heard no rumors that they are going to kick us out because, you know, of the improvements that they're seeing with our program for the youth. I said, you know, these are things that we could do to really bring about some positive change, you know, and if your program could, you know, actually allow us to get some money, that would be great because we could utilize that to improve our program. Anyway, he did end up doing that, and we got, you know, a lot larger amount of things into this. The student program. So what we did with that money, we had an hour with the kids to teach. So half an hour went into our, you know, meditation program, and the other half an hour went into a free lunch program for them. So, you know, this was during their lunching time, so they had an hour. But out of that hour, we were teaching them half an hour with the meditation, and the other half an hour we gave them a free lunch. And man, we got a lot of kids that wanted to get into it in the beginning because of the free money. But after a while, it ended up happening. We ended up seeing even more kids wanting to get into it because they saw the results that were coming back to them as far as improving their grades and a lot more peace of mind instead of frustrated and feeling depressed and all of that kind of crazy stuff. You know, we were able to help them to come out of those dungeons of negativity. So I was really glad to see that. And that's one of the other things that I'm looking at. Because I would really like to, have a program where we have our own schools instead of dealing with trying to work on getting some things going in their schools, because we have more ability to really bring about positive change in our schools when we're in control of them. But when they're in control of the schools, you can't talk about, anything dealing with Black history, because if you do your program or even as a teacher, you could be kicked out of school in history, and that's not good. And, sometimes when you have programs that can really bring about positive things, like the brother was saying, depending on, the location you're in and how racist they are in that particular location, like he said, they kicked his program out of, the schooling industry because, they were getting too much positive results and they didn't want, Black kids to really get those kind of positive results. They wanted them to stay stuck and seeing themselves as losers, not as winners. But anyway, that was another thing. But when you have your own school system that you're in charge of, you don't have to worry about, putting positive programs into a schooling system and getting excellent results coming back. And then them telling you that, no, we don't want your program in the schools no more. So you guys are really improving their lives. We don't want that to happen. And, that's the thing. We don't need to have, situations where our schools are controlled and not allowing our kids to reach the maximum potential of what they can do, And that's one of the reasons why we need to have our own Black schools. So this way we can teach Black history. This way, we can even have spirituality in the schools where we can have God and Jesus, Allah, different aspects of spiritual religion in the schools where we could talk to the kids about trying to live a righteous life. When you don't even have spirituality in the schools, talking about living a righteous life, they don't even know what that is, And that's another reason why it would be good to have, spirituality there because, when kids say, wow, yeah, I would like to live that spiritual righteous life, and be a serious follower and of God, so that I could, make my way to heaven before I die, that I could get my foot in that door. So these are things that are very important that our kids need to know about. Why is it important, not to kill? Because in the Bible it says, thou shall not kill. And that was God speaking to our people, the human race, talking to them about the fact that they shouldn't be killing one another. But there's many of our people and other people throughout the world that feel like, what? Shoot, man, somebody get me upset. I'm going to kill them. I ain't got no problem with killing them. I'm shooting. They don't even have to get me upset. It could be because of their religion. It could be because of the color of their skin. It could be because of this, that, and the other. It could be a 10 or 20 different reasons why I don't mind pulling the trigger on it. But these are things I'm talking about. We don't need to have our youth nor our adults in that mindset. Well, killing one another is a good thing. And like I said, I couldn't even believe when I was in Pelham, and these teenagers played this music in front of me, to be disrespectful. song was saying was that you want to do a nigga a favor, you need to kill him. And if you kill him, you're doing him a favor. You're not doing the wrong thing, you're doing the good thing. You know, by killing a nigga, you're doing him a favor. And I was like, what? You know, I couldn't even believe that a brother, and I was a brother, I could see if it was a white racist doing that song, but it was actually a black brother doing that song. I could tell by his voice that he was black. But the thing about it, what blew my mind, was that he was singing this song, and I know they were paying him some good money to sing it, but what really was blowing my mind is that he was saying something really, you know, negative towards our people. And, you know, these are things that influence some of our kids, you know, because they're saying, you know what, that guy's right. If I kill a nigga, I'm doing him a favor. Like, yeah, right. But if they keep hearing crazy music like that, you know, that can have a huge impact on them. And that's why they had what they call the terrible nigger hate music, to play that kind of music, you know, repeatedly and flood that in our community with all of that negativity so that our people will, you know, feel, you know, that it wouldn't be a problem to actually kill a brother or a sister. It would be a good thing to do that, you know. And that's not a good thing, to kill each other. But when you've been brainwashed to believe that it is, that causes a serious problem. But anyway, these are things that we need to, you know, erase and get out of our community. You know, have our black schools, have our, you know, different community center programs that could be set up, you know, in our community, having, you know, also, you know, even black supermarkets where we could have food that, you know, we know is, you know, good for us that could be sold there, you know, herbs and different things that could be sold there as well, that could have a huge impact in, you know, helping us to live a healthy life. So these are things that, you know, our folks need to have in our community, but the only problem is you got to have the money, you know, to actually programs, these different schools, these different community centers, and bringing positive music back into our community, you got to have the money. And once we start to generate utilizing the money that we have, $1.8 trillion worth of money that can be generated throughout the course of the year, that's a good thing. But the bottom line is, how are you going to spend it? If you're going to spend it in everybody else's community but yours, because like I said, that was 2 years ago now, but the bottom line was, when that money was spent, you know, the $1.8 trillion, that money for us that we spent in our community was only 3% that we spent in our community. 97% of that money was spent in everybody else's community. And that was like, wow. I couldn't even believe that our people, you know, didn't even want to support each other. But that's what happens when you have a lot of self-hatred, a lot of brainwashing that tells you not to work with your people or to have anything to do with your people. And that's, you know, something that we need to definitely rise out of, to start to come together in unity and be a great blessing to each other in our community. But that's the thing. You're stuck with working with people that, you know, don't want to have anything to do with helping one another, but only want to have something to do with hurting and destroying one another, and that's a whole other story. And that's where we come in again, because with the spirituality, we can purify the minds and hearts of people in our community to stop hating, killing, and destroying each other's lives. But now to start to reach out to help one another, now to start to reach out and be a blessing to one another, now to start to uplift and bring about caring and sharing with one another and being a serious blessing to one another. That's what we need to do. Anyway, these are things that we have the power and the ability to do. There's no question about whether these are things that we can make come through. But the bottom line is, what steps do we need to take to get there? And those are the things, like I said, starting off with bringing our churches together, our mosques, our, you know, our Hebrew Israelite temples, our Rastafarians. We can do that. And so far, and speaking with some of the churches so far, it's only been like two or three churches at this point, right? All the churches I spoke to were in agreement that this would be a good opportunity, and they would like to play a part in that. And I was glad to hear that they were willing to actually, you know, deal with coming together in unity. Because when you are stuck in a situation where, you know, you don't want to have anything to do with helping your community as a church or a mosque or as a Hebrew temple or as a Rastafarian church, then basically that's not a good thing. But again, the brainwashing in our community has been very severe, so we need to come out of that. And we don't, again, need to accept the negative situation that we are dealing with, you know, in regards to accepting the lies of Satan that wants to keep us, you know, divided and not in unity. And that's the thing. We need to come together with a unified community, and that will really be a great blessing. As long as we're going to stay stuck in seeing things from that negative perspective of not even wanting to help each other, not even wanting to be a blessing to each other, then that's where, you know, you're going to see what you see in the community today. Gang wars going on and people begging out on the streets for food and money. All these different things no longer need to exist. And we can change them, but we need to really, sincerely come together in caring and sharing and helping one another and being a blessing to one another. So once we start to come out of that negative mindset into the positive mindset, that's a good thing. And if any of you would like to see some of the steps that we're talking about with that, you can call me again at this number, 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372. Okay, so I'm looking forward to hearing from any of you that would like to see us coming together in unity to bring about a resurrected and positive new community, because we do not need to be stuck in the negativity we see now. But what we need to do is change our community by coming together in unity. Yes, indeed. So, Brother Ron, did anyone else come on at this time? Brother Ron, you still there? Oh, okay. I guess Brother Ron fell asleep. Anyway, all I can say is this time.
Okay, you have 901. Your mic is open.
Hello, I just got on the call, so I'm not sure what the subject matter is. What's the subject matter?
Okay, yeah, we were talking about coming together in unity in our community. And not just on a physical level of doing marches and protests, but even more so on a spiritual level of coming together in prayer, fasting, meditating, and things of that sort. And what I was doing was going over some different experiences that I had, you know, spiritually in the schooling system, where we helped the kids with our meditation program. Also, we were able to, you know, help to stop the gang wars as well, spiritually, when we came together with prayer and meditation as well. And it actually helped things come about a lot quicker than, you know, the practical, you know, time thing. It took 2 years for us to end the gang war in New York. But the good thing about it was gang violence that was happening, which was a really outrageous, you know, situation that was there. And we were able to do that in a week's time, which was great. So I was really glad to see that come about as well. But anyway, that was pretty much the focus on that. And we were just talking about how it improved the athletic ability, the academic ability. Of course, kids that were failing in school, we were able to get them on the A and B honor roll, you know, by showing them how they could come out of that negative mindset of seeing themselves as losers, and now they could see themselves as winners. And these were things that definitely had a serious and huge impact on them, and I was really glad to see that, and on the adults as well. But anyway, you know, if you had any comment on that, feel free.
Okay, let's see. Well, as a unity of community, it's unfortunate that we are still, and I'll say it like it is, on the boat, okay? Some communities have brought themselves together. But I must say the American blacks, we still have a mindset of being captured on the boat. I'm 71, and I can say that wholeheartedly. Some of us have definitely come out, and I'll say the millennials are still in. They're not, as a whole, learning what they need to learn about our people, okay? And, of course, the forces against us like to keep it that way. I mean, we don't bring guns into this country. We don't bring drugs into this country. But unfortunately, because a lot of our men have gone into the penal system, therefore it's a revolving door for them. So they have to know that there is another way out outside of working on a 9-to-5, because even though they've done their time, they're still penalized as far as working, as far as voting, and the whole nine yards. So it's a matter of fact that I don't know if it's been publicized, but I found out last year the Republicans, they passed the Jim Crow law in Mississippi. And so I spoke to, I was in North Carolina at the time, and I spoke to the senator there. I said, well, how did that happen? And she said, the Republicans are in charge. So I said, what does that mean for North Carolina? She says, the Republicans are in charge. And at that time, I was coming to Florida, so I knew this is a Republican state. And it's sad that Donald Trump has opened up a can of worms as far as prejudice is concerned. And we had this past summer here in Jacksonville, Florida, there was a young man, he had watch stickers on and a whole nine yards, and he killed three blacks in a Dollar General store, one outside and two inside. But he's opened the door for a lot of negativity. And there are so many young people that are positive. They're going to college. They're doing a whole lot of things. But that's not what's emphasized on the news. The news is negativity. And so we have to, as a people, you know, we have to keep lifting ourselves up. We have to keep teaching our young, and we have to move forward. It's a shame that things are like they are at this time, but it's been time for a change a very long time. And so we have to keep moving up. And I heard in Brooklyn they're opening up some kind of recreation center in the name of Shirley Chisholm, and with a swimming pool, and I think that's fantastic. I'm a native New Yorker 50 years. So there are a lot of things that are still needed, and we have to keep pushing. That's all we have to do, keep pushing and praying. We have to pray. And those that meditate, we meditate. So God bless you.
Likewise, and to you as well, my sister. And what you said was true. You know, these are things that we could definitely do, you know, and it's good that there are some communities that have been coming together and trying to see what they could do to bring about positive change. But it's not a, you know, complete black community situation. It's just, you know, one community here, another community there. You know, so it's just a small amount, but we need to start to get it where you know, in every Black community, we have these positive opportunities to bring about, you know, positive things in our communities. And that will really be, you know, wonderful to see, because our people are worthy of it. Here we are in a country where we worked for free for 250 years and didn't get paid a nickel or a dime or a penny. And even as, you know, being in World War II and the Vietnamese War and all of that, you know, we fought as soldiers and, you know, defended the United States and everything. And we never even got reparation money for it, you know. We did a lot of great and wonderful things for our people here and for the American people, you know, as well. But for whatever reason, they feel that, don't want to help those niggas. So what? They fought in World War II. They fought for the Vietnamese War. They did this, that, and the other for our people. So what? They're not helping them. And it's hard to believe that, because they reached out and helped so many other people instead of our people, you know, because even with the Japanese, you know, that was really a trip to see that, you know, the Japanese actually declared war on our folks in the United States. And after declaring war against them, the Japanese that were in this country, they put them in a concentration camp and kept them in there during World War II. And then when they World War II was over, they let them out. And they, you know, said, oh, wow, they kept you in jail all of that time in the concentration camp. And now what we're going to do is give each of you guys $20,000 in saying sorry that we did that to you, because you guys didn't do nothing to us here in the United States, but we didn't want to take no chance and let you guys be free. And then you're my, you know, stepped into the White House with a nuclear bomb or something, and we didn't want to take no chances with that. So anyway, they put them in concentration camps, but then they gave reparation money to them. And they were even against America killing our people and everything, because a lot of African Americans even died in World War II in trying to stop the Japanese. And, you know, we sacrificed a lot of our lives trying to really do right things for them. But it's really been a trip to see how they did that for them anyway, even though they were against America, you know. And here we've been for America, and they still don't want to give us nothing. And, you know, even with Russia and Ukraine, I thought it was $50 billion that they gave to the Ukrainians. But I heard recently that it was 150, and I was like, what? $150 billion was given by Biden to the Ukrainian people? I said, wow, that's a trip, you know? And they don't want to give us a nickel or a penny. And that was funny, too, because, you know, Biden even said that, you know, he was going to give African-Americans in this country some money because of, you know, slavery and all the negative things of racism and stuff that was done against us, the wickedness and the evilness that they did against our people, you know. And then when it came time for him to give it up, because I'll never forget, you know, there was a, you know, a little video that he had that he put out, and he actually said that he was going to give African Americans money, but the only problem with that was that he just didn't know at that time what would be the right amount to give us, you know, each individual. And he said he would get back in touch with us in a few days and let us know. And, you know, once he, you know, made his decision on what the amount would be, he would let us know and how soon that would be available for all African Americans. But the only problem with that was he never came back and said anything, you know. And I was like, wow, he was playing a lot of games and, you know, telling us a whole bunch of stuff, but he didn't ever do, you know, the things that he promised he was going to do for us. But that's how politics has been in the United States for us. You know, you got, you know, senators, congressmen, mayors, you got presidents, And sometimes, you know, I never forget one sister. She became a congresswoman, and she just won in the election. And there was two or three things she said she was going to do for her people when she became that. But then when she got into office, you know, white folks came to her and told her, no, do not do those three things you said you're going to do, because if you do that, you're going to have a huge impact on your community, and we don't want you to do that. And if you actually try to do that, you are going to end up in a coffin. Now, you think about it. Do you really want to find yourself in a coffin? She said, what? And then a week or two later, after she became congresswoman, she resigned as a congresswoman because she was threatened to be killed if she actually followed through with the things she wanted to do. But that's the game of politics. You know, when you saw what happened to Kennedy, you know, when Kennedy actually did step out for us, and he was a part of the one percenters that were the rich and wealthy people in this country. So his family was, you know, one of the richest rich and wealthy families here in this country as well. But anyway, make a long story short, what happened with him when he decided to actually give black people, you know, civil rights or equal rights, where we could be equal rights with white people, you know, the thing that really surprised the heck out of me was that, you know, white racists here in this country were so racist that they couldn't even believe that he went and did something like that. And their whole thing at that point was that this knucklehead, we're going to kill him. He ended up helping these niggas, and we didn't tell him to do that. We told him not to do it, and he went and did it anyway. So we're going to get rid of him. And that's what they did. They actually did go and kill him. And they tried to say that it was the Russians that, you know, were the ones that killed him, but it really wasn't the Russians. It was white racists here in this country that killed him, but there was never really a thorough investigation on who it was, because they already knew who it was, and they didn't want to, you know, show what group it was and, you know, who was the individual who pulled the trigger. And also not only who was the individual pulled the trigger, but who was the group that was behind that whole murder situation for Kennedy. And then not only did they kill Kennedy, but they killed his brother as well, because once he was dead, then there was no president. And then his brother, who was a senator, ended up wanting to become president. And they said, oh, no, we can't let this guy run for president. He'll probably win the race, and then we're going to have another president just like his brother. So that's when they went after him, and they killed him as well. But that's the thing with the reparations. You know, it's hard to believe that, you know, these guys have given out money to so many different people, you know, that, you know, have done America wrong, and not even citizens here in the United States, and haven't done half the work that we've done to help America. But yet, you know, they rather give money to them instead of give a dime, nickel, or a penny to us. And that's crazy, you know, because we should end up not with 20,000 like they gave the Japanese, but we should end up with about $1 million apiece, you know, or 500,000 or even 2 million. But the bottom line is that, you know, when you really look at, you know, how racism here is in this country, they don't even want to give us the acknowledgement of what we did to help our people and, you know, here in America, you know, United States as United States citizens. And, you know, we did some great and wonderful things for America, but they didn't care. And they just ended up giving money away to people that even wanted to destroy America. It didn't make a difference to them, you know.
I have to feed off of what you're saying. We fought during the Civil War, okay, volunteers, and there were thousands of us that were never seen life again. We fought in every single war there was. We built this country, blood, sweat, and tears. There is a reparation system going on in reference to Black Wall Street. Lo and behold, there are still four survivors, okay, and they're fighting for reparation. We never got our 40 acres and a mule, and we never will. I mean, that was a fictitious statement, but and Lincoln did not free the slaves, okay? He did not. So we're still celebrating stuff like, you know, who discovered America? They didn't discover anything. We were already here, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, got DeSantos wants to get rid of, you know, history books because we're talking about Black Americans in the history books. Okay, they can go on the internet now. You can't stop information now. So you're still fighting over stuff that should have been taken care of years ago. It's not going to be taken care of, and so we can't expect it. But that's what we have to do. We have to keep moving forward, okay, in spite of them, and I will say them, okay? There are many in numbers, and no matter what they say, we built this country, blood, sweat, and tears. Okay? They pulled dogs on us, hoses on us. They wouldn't let us vote. And when we get in office, they still can't do anything. But you got people in office, they get a $103,000 raise every year. They wrote it for themselves. And when it's in office, the ones that are from a community, they can't get anything done because the forces are way above their head. Okay? You got people that have been in there, when they get to the podium, they don't even know what's going on. They can't even speak, okay, because they're so old. They should have been sat down years ago. Our young people have to get up because the older people are, like, wiped out. They're tired. They have to get up, and they have to fight. That's who we have to get out to vote. And even with that, we have to work within our community, as you said, to uplift everybody. Because you make $1 billion in the rap, you know, field or whatever, you have to pull people up with you when you, okay, actors, actresses, and they still talk about the money that they're not getting to this day, and they've been robbed, okay? And so you have the young guys that are now starting their own companies and public relations and the whole nine yards to make their own money. So the other folks don't have their hands in the till. And that would have, you know, we have to be entrepreneurs, bottom line. We have to be entrepreneurs. We got to take it by the hand and run with it. So are there a lot of things happening that will try to keep their claws on us? Okay, what they did to the Indians? Okay, got them in little, you know, little huts, and they got the little areas, and they do gambling, this, that, and the other. Well, they were here first, okay? And they tried to indoctrinate the Indians and put them in city areas to learn trades and et cetera, et cetera. They didn't want to be there, okay? But they were told, okay, certain things, and they went for it. But they wound up going back home to their reservations. And right now, there's a doctor that I met. I thought she was Puerto Rican, but she's purebred Indian. So when she and her husband both finished their internship and all the whole nine yards, they went back to the reservations, okay? Because it's still crazy out here. And you got crazy people running this country, crazier ones trying to get back in. And so this country is in trouble all by itself, all by itself. They don't need us to help them with that. But the thing is, we have to do it ourselves and keep doing what we have to do by ourselves and keep striving for betterment of our community. And that's the bottom line.
That's true, sis. You need to do that. But one thing I did want to mention to you, though, and I don't know if you knew about this, but it blew my mind, too. It was a gentleman by the name of, in New York. His name was Dr. Jeffries, and he was a Black historian. Matter of fact, I still think he's still around, you know. I know he's up there probably in his 80s now. The bottom line was that with him, he had a really powerful program going on where at one point he was taking a lot of Black people to Egypt. And when he was taking them to Egypt, he was taking them into the pyramids where they could see on the walls the paintings that were on the walls that were of black people. And it says that I remember in one of his classes, you know, he had taken a picture of a spaceship that was, you know, the process of going from planet Earth onto another planet. And you could see the driver of that was a black person, you know, that was flying the spaceship. But the funny thing about it, you know, white Americans were telling us that, you know, because we were in Africa, we were farmers, and the smartest thing that we ever did was be farmers and be slaves for white people, right? But the other side of it was that we never were able mentally to have the knowledge or the wisdom to ever make an airplane, to make a car, to make a spaceship, anything like that. And because our people weren't, you know, having the kind of wisdom that was needed to deal with something like that, that's the only reason why our people were incapable mentally. And these were lies that were told to us, but with Dr. Jeffries actually showed us spaceships that black people were flying from, you know, Egypt to different places, different planets and things like that in the universe. I was like, wow, that's deep. I never knew that our people, you know, had big spaceships or flying and to other planets and stuff, you know, because we were never taught that. We were taught that our people couldn't even do nothing like that. But that was good. But, you know, the thing about it was because the word was getting out on that, you know, eventually they didn't even let Dr. Jeffries into the pyramids anymore because they didn't want him sharing that information on the great things that we were, you know, able to do. And they had put a gate that would not allow you to walk in there because the gate had a lock on it. But this one time he went in there, the gate wasn't locked. So he went back there, and he said, I'm going to ask these guys, why don't they let us, you know, go into the pyramids anymore? He kind of knew why, but, you know, he just wanted to hear it from them. And when he went back there, he saw that they were painting the pictures of the black people on the walls. They were painting them to be white people. And I said, wow, look at that. But that's, you know, just a, you know, interesting scenario or situation. Another thing that our people have even more here in America that happened, and that was a lot of people don't even know that we built pyramids here in the United States. And when we built pyramids in America, thing about it was they said there was like about 95 to 100 pyramids that were built. And the thing about it was this was thousands of years ago. And it showed also that we were the first people here in America. Even though they told us that Native Americans were the first ones, they came after we came here, and there was no civil war between African people and the East Indian people, which were thinking to Native American people. But the bottom line was when white people did come here and they fought against us, they fought against African tribes and also Native American tribes. And that was the thing. And when they, you know, did end up winning the war that was going on, they ended up, you know, throwing our people into slavery. And the Native Americans said, no, we don't want to be slaves because if you guys make us slaves, you know, we ain't going to do no work, you know. And they refused to do work, and they tried to force them. So a lot of the Native Americans, they ended up just killing them because they didn't want to be slaves for white people. As a matter of fact, there was an old saying they used to say, you know, the only good Indian is a dead Indian. And I was like, what? You know, but anyway, these are some things that were being said and that we were being taught in regards to being capable of, you know, making, you know, spaceships. Also that the first people here in America were Native American people. They were not African people, but that's not true. To this day, there are about 95 different pyramids that have been built across this country, and our people put them here. Go ahead, Ron. What were you going to say?
You have 602-562. Your mic is open.
Okay. Go ahead. If you have any comments to share with us, too.
602-562. Your mic is open. Unmute yourself. Okay, moving on. We have with us the lovely herself, the most intelligent, the most informative, great, great show tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m., the Ethiopian World Federation Common Incorporated with Empress Katie Gomez. She is with us tonight. Let's give her a nice hand and welcome her into the studio as well.
Oh, well, thank you. So very thankful, Dr. Robinson, for your kind remarks. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. I will be with you tomorrow, live and live, but today I'm listening to my brother, Benjamin Bridges, just listening and just want to greet you. So I will continue to listen to your program since I just joined it. So I will continue.
Well, I'm glad to see that you came about, and I'll be there tomorrow as well to check you guys out. And, yeah, you know, we were just talking about, you know, our history. We were talking about, you know, how we're not being taught the truth about our history. And we were also talking about the reparation funds and how they're giving money away to everybody else but to us, you know. And also the other thing was we were talking about, you know, us coming together in unity to be a blessing to our community. But the only way we're going to do that is to come out of the negative mindset of, you know, having so much self-hatred and anger towards dealing with one another and not wanting to have nothing to do with each other. That kind of negative energy is unfortunately there. But the bottom line is we can reprogram the minds of our people and start to really see some positive things come about. And that's what we really need to do so that we could really bring our people together in unity to be a blessing to our community. Anyway, those are some of the things that we spoke about. If you had any comment on that, you know, feel free to, you know, to share with us. But if not, no problem. I just wanted to let you know that's what we were talking about since you said you just came on.
Yes, well, I agree with you, but it's necessary for us to come together within unification, and it would be a much better place for we, the black people of the world. But some truths have to come out before we address certain things, and I see we are slowly getting there with Vladimir Putin, Russian Prime Minister, really taking some things out of the archives of 400-year-old truths, explaining to black Americans who they really are. My problem really is with the pastors and the men of God in America who never told the black people that they were the Hebrew Israelites. So that's all I have to contribute today. My show is tomorrow, and we're going to elaborate on that. So Putin came out and told the black people of America they are the Hebrew Israelites. But the black preachers, they sat there and never tell them who they really are. So I had quite a problem with that, coming to America and watching black preachers be so hypocritical. So that's my take on it.
Well, I hear you, sis, and a lot of what you just said is true, no question about that, because with black people here in this country, majority of them are Christians, and the problem is we're not utilizing the things that were really taught to us, you know, under the table, because a lot of what was said was just the shallow and limited portions of Christianity that was taught to us. I don't understand why they didn't really teach us the very important parts of that, because when you really look at, you know, the fact that we as a people are very powerful people and could really do some some great and wonderful things to really bring about positive change for ourselves. But, you know, you're not supposed to know that. You're supposed to just see yourself as a loser, a limited person that can't accomplish much, and just accept the fact that you'll probably never come out of poverty and you'll never come out of, you know, different hardships that you're involved with. And that's basically the brainwashing of what is being taught to our people. But the reality is, you know, we spiritually do have the power to bring about positive change in our personal lives and also positive change in the lives of our people and our community. And once we start to awaken to our true ability of what we can do and what our true identity is too, that's going to have a huge impact on, you know, bringing about positive change for our folks. But that's another thing. Like I said, even with that situation, when I spoke on that, of us being true sons and daughters of God, you know, I had a white racist came on the show and told me if I didn't shut up and stop talking that and sharing that with my people, they were going to throw me in jail. And I was like, what? I couldn't even believe that they would even say something crazy like that. But again, they don't want us to know that we have any of these abilities. But that is very true because, like I said in the Bible, it says, you know, you are made in the likeness and image of God. That is a very, very powerful statement. God created the whole entire universe, the moon, the stars, the heavens. He created, you know, all these different animals here on this planet, the human race, the ocean, the earth, everything, trees, you name it. And he had the ability to create all these planets throughout, millions of planets throughout the universe. And then, you know, if we're made in his likeness, how the heck can we be weak and limited people? It's just the opposite of that. We are not weak and limited people, but we're very powerful and strong people. But you're not supposed to know that. And if you keep talking about that you are very powerful and strong spiritual people, then from what they said, you could be thrown in jail. There's a new law that, you know, you could be thrown in jail on that. But I never heard of nobody being thrown in jail about speaking about spirituality and their opinion of it. Now, I can see if somebody talking about, yeah, we need to be spiritual, we need to go and kill these people or kill those people. That's different if you're going to talk crazy stuff like that. But if you're just talking about the comments that are being said in the Bible, what the heck are they going to put you in jail on that? I can see if you were making up a comment that wasn't written in the Bible. That's one thing. But if you're commenting on something that was already written in the Bible, I don't even see how they could even, you know, try to tell you you shouldn't speak on that, you know. But anyway, I understand where they're coming from, because if we could know who we are and tap into our God-given power and use that power to bring about positive change, then that's a whole other thing. But like I said before, when we were dealing with the gang wars that were going on in the community, especially in Baltimore, that was really a trip, because the kids that were in Baltimore made up their minds. They bought two or three different machine guns with their group, and they were going to go after this other group that killed five people in their group. And we meditated and visualized and prayed on the fact that we wanted their minds to be purified, their hearts to be purified and cleansed of the anger and the hatred that they had and the desire to kill all these kids in this other gang and to stop the gang war that they were dealing with. And that weekend, they promised that with their three machine guns, they were going to go to where the other gang was. And if they didn't kill all of them, they were going to see about killing most of them if they couldn't kill all of them. But anyway, that weekend came, and after we did the prayer meditation upon them to cleanse and purify their minds and get rid of all that wickedness and evilness and wanting to kill and destroy each other, the bottom line was, brother that lived in Baltimore called me, and he told me that, guess what, Mr. Bridges? I said, what? He said, the other gang that promised to go in there and retaliate and get revenge on the other gang? They didn't even do that, man. They didn't do that at all. I said, wow. I said, that's good. He said, yeah, man, I'm glad we got together and did the prayer and meditation on that, man. It worked. So that was something that showed me that we have the ability to even transform the minds of people that are stuck in wickedness and evilness. But we don't know that we have the ability to do these things. We've been told that we're very limited people that can hardly do achieve anything. So we need to bring our minds out of that lie of Satan and start to acknowledge the truth of God, telling us that we're made in his likeness and in his image.
You,
yes, we do.
You have 205-742.
Yes, yes, how y'all doing? I got in late. I had got busy today. I just chimed in. But I want to make this observation or put this out here, and it's a fact. Y'all see what Russia did last week Thursday. They went in the archives and opened the vaults and then brought out all the pictures, characters of the Bible. Jesus was black. The 12 disciples were black. All these people are black. And then you hear a lot of people, well, what's the significance in that? Well, the significance in that means Christianity is a lie. Because if you went out and posted Jesus was a black man, they said Jesus, that would have been the truth. But you didn't do that. When they got in power during the Renaissance age, they did what you call iconoclasm. Y'all look that word up. And that means whitewashing. And they went out and painted everything white. So that's evidence and proof. And that's the reason they're holding Russia out from the rest of the G7. It used to be G8 nations, and all of them were white nations. But Russia wouldn't comply with the way they want to do the world. So Russia got to be the outcast. Now, I ain't telling you that Russia love us, love black folks, so. But as a form of warfare, what Russia doing, but he want the United States to fall from the inside out. And it's documents out there, books that they don't teach you in school, that even Hitler knew that the black Jews was in America and spread it out through the four corners of the world. So not only are we in the image of God, it's been a whole absolute lie put out for the last 600-800 years. And so Russia put some evidence. Go, it's all over social media. You know they ain't going to put it on the national network, CBS, NBC, CNN, all them folks are never put it out there. But social media, TikTok, and all these other independent media-based places are putting it out there. So let us be encouraged that we've been lied to. Let us go back to we are the true people of the Bible. The Bible is not religion. The Bible is a history book that kept up with the Israelites right up to this day. And we had to start writing the book today. It was tell you who the true people of the book is. And the reason we're in the conditions and the reason we don't know unity and the reason that we can't get it together, it's because of a curse. The Deuteronomy 28 curses. Start with 15 all the way through 6-8, all the way up to the transatlantic slave trade. And the history starting to come out. And we as black Americans, black folks all over the world, need to understand that we are the image of God. We are the image. Jesus, and I don't know image of God or image of Jesus. Jesus was our brother. Jesus was one of our brothers. We are those people. We came from somewhere. Black people came from somewhere in this world. So we trace it back 2,000 years or however long Jesus walked on the earth. I know the book said from Abraham, Jesus being birthed in the world were 42 generations. So I'm pretty sure where we at now might be another 42 generations that went back. But anyway, we all know that God said one day to him is a 1,000 years to us. And we know that what that means is in just a few more days, God finna flip this thing over. And everybody aware of April the 8th, the eclipse that's putting an X on the whole United States. And everything that started with, the Jonah, Texas. Y'all know the book of Jonah. And it's going all the way through Nineveh. Every town in the United States named Nineveh. And it's going to complete that X. The United States ain't got but a few more days to repent or the destruction that's coming upon this earth. And it ain't coming for us black folks. It's coming for the people who in charge and who've been running it. And you know how many presidents we've had since the United States inception. One black man that couldn't get nothing done. So I'm going to close out right there, go back to social media and look what Russia did a week ago, putting out all them black pictures out of their vault. So that'll give us some more, encouragement of who we are, the true Hebrew Israelites of the Bible, right here among us. So I close out with that.
Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate you bringing that truth, because that is the truth, brother, you know. And I even saw something similar with that, with the Pope, you know, from, what is that, from Italy there. He also did something similar to that, where he had a celebration, not for Jesus, but this was for his mother, Mary. And it showed Mary as a black woman, and she was holding Jesus in his hand, in her hand, and he was a black child. And I was like, wow, you know, they showing that Jesus was black and Mary his mama too, huh? So that was really surprising to see that, but I was glad to see that they put that out there. And then a few other people had seen that as well, you know, where they saw that the Pope had put that out there. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised to see that he would even admit something like that. But the thing about it is, some of them are saying, listen, why should we just keep telling this lie to these black people? Let me tell the truth. And they finally do sometimes. Some of them will tell the truth. So I'm glad to see that the Pope did step up to the plate and say the truth for a change instead of being stuck in Satan's lie. So that was good, brother. But, yeah, just that is important, though, because the reason why that is important is because we've been told the lie that white people are superior to us, and being that we are people that, you know, the best thing that we ever did in our lives was be slaves for them. And that wasn't true at all. We did some tremendous, awesome, and supernatural and amazing and wonderful things since we've been here on this planet. But the thing about it is they try to make us see things for ourselves in such a negative way. And they don't want us to see the truth and don't want to show the proof of what really is there. And that's one of the reasons why when you do find out that Jesus was black and that the majority of white people in this country, some of them do believe that he was white and some of them do know that he was black. But the bottom line is that they are praying to a black Jesus. And when you know that they're praying to a black Jesus, how can we be, you know, inferior to them and them being superior to us? Matter of fact, that turns situation totally around. And they don't want us to know that, because if they know that we know that, we would no longer see ourselves as seeing them superior to us. And some of us have been brainwashed to believe that they are superior to us. But the truth of that is, how can you be superior to us if you're praying on your knee to a black Jesus? That doesn't even make any sense. And that's the thing. And that's why, you know, it was funny, too, because one part of it was this white racist came on and told me, if I keep telling my people that we are made in the likeness and image of God and we do have God-given power within us, but we just need to tap into that power, right? And he said, if you keep saying that you just want people to tap into this God-given power, you're going to be thrown in jail. And another thing, he said, if you say that one more time about the fact that Jesus was black, they're going to be white racists knocking on your door, and they're going to kill you. So you better stop talking that. So they don't even want you to know that Jesus was black. They only want you to know that he was a white man and then accept the lie. Don't accept the truth of God. And that's really a trip.
When you say anything like that, they call it anti-Semitic. Our black people can be Semitic when we are the Semitic people. Anything against them is anti-Semitic. You know, some of the celebrities mentioned something. They're like the Candace Owens. Y'all kind of familiar with her. She's been out there in social media and every which way, and they've been praising her. She did nothing but come on the scene to put down black people. Now she done smelt herself and thought she can continue to talk freely. Now she said something that offended them so-called Jews, and now they done fired her and got rid of her. Now she want to run back to the black folk. Well, ain't it so funny that when we up in the Abram, we flying high, we in them white folk fade, doing their dirty work, and as soon as our airplane crash, we come all the way back down to the NAAC and looking for black folk to support us. Now, you stick over there with the folks you've been talking to, who paid you all that money to put black folk down. Don't come back around me no more, because I don't know how to trust you no more. And you see, so we don't... Well, she come back with bending knees and humble heart and learned her lesson, and we can use her. Now, you come on out here and start telling the truth on both sides, about white folks and black folks. Yeah, we got a lot of problems with black folks.
Let's give you a shout-out for that, brother. You really talked about me.
It's about that time. We got to say goodbye. Well, peace and blessings to everyone. Y'all have a good one, and thanks for coming on the show.
And don't forget tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m., same time, same channel, 347-857-1311. We're going to be back on with the Eastern World Federation Incorporated with the Empress Sadie Gomez. We will continue this conversation deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until those things that they try to hide from us. God bless.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused. But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
'Cause
God.
Don't ever.
Don't